Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope, and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode, I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma, as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. With me today, I have Dr. Eli Joseph, who's an author, educator, and TEDx speaker who currently serves as a faculty member at Columbia University in Queen's College, also as a partner and medical examiner at Exam One, a Quest Diagnostics company. Using rejection to fuel his professional achievements, he earned a bachelor's degree at the age of 20, a master's degree at the age of 21, and he was named a Forbes Under 30 scholar at the age of just 23. And he also earned a doctorate degree whilst teaching at an Ivy League institution at 24. His new book, The Perfect Rejection Resume, A Reader's Guide to Building a Career Through Failure, compiles lessons about failure from his own life experiences and those of seven influential thought leaders. And here is Dr. Eli Joseph, all the way from New York. How's it going?
I'm doing great, Anna. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you. Yeah. What time is it there now?
It is currently 3:53 p.m.
Woohoo. And what's the weather like?
Weather's actually not bad. It's fair. Yeah. It's pretty fair. We are currently in the mid-50s right now. It's probably sunny.
Fantastic. Oh, all right. Yay. It's nice, isn't it? It's getting warm. Warm. We like the heat. Bring on the heat. So thank you so much, Dr. Joseph, for coming on my show. You've got an amazing history. You've got an amazing resume. Just by looking at, you know, all your achievements and just by listening to your talk as well, your TEDx talk, you're doing fantastically well. And it'll be great for you to obviously introduce yourself officially to my listeners and to, you know, let them know who you are and what you're about, please.
So, hi guys, I am Dr. Eli Joseph. I am currently a faculty member at Columbia University. I am also a partner and medical examiner at Quest Diagnostics, which is a Fortune 500 company that deals with a lot, everything regarding health and diagnostics as well. I also write for Inc. Magazine and Entrepreneur Magazine, as well as the Enterprises Project. Mm-hmm. I've done so many things as far as teaching, researching, consulting, and I've also written a book called The Perfect Rejection Resume.
Oh, interesting. I love that title, Rejection Resume. Tell us about that.
So the reason why I actually written the book called The Perfect Rejection Resume is because that I think everyone have a form of rejection. And that rejection and the resume is filled with failures and, you know, bad things that happen over the whole entire period of their life. When we think of successful people, we're thinking, you know, someone must have gotten it so easy. It's a silver spoon that he knows. He or she got that. You're lucky, and you know, you've gotten it so far because everything has been handed to you. Yeah. And I've gotten that same feedback from others that may have, you know, they may have felt a certain type of way as far as my story. Yeah. And they said, oh, you must have gotten it easy. Oh, you graduated and before you even graduated, you ended up at an Ivy League institution at a very young age. You graduated at the age of 24. You don't know nothing and you have not been through a lot. Mm. And that's the complete opposite. And it's not true. So in response to those naysayers, I constructed and cultivated a resume. A traditional resume, we tend to, you know, highlight our acknowledgements and our accomplishments. Yeah. Hooray. We've gotten promoted so many times. I've gotten this award. I've gotten this prestigious award into this prestigious school. I've gotten scholarships. Yeah. We're happy about that. We boast about that on social media. We boast about that in the job market. However, we don't talk about the opposite. Mm-hmm. And this is where the rejection resume comes into play. And I wanted to create that and share my story in hopes to have other people talk about their rejection and, you know, basically share their, you know, resume as well, because I think you have to have a trace of failures in order for you to succeed.
Absolutely. And it's failures and rejections which actually create strength, internal strength. You know, if you lived a life just where you've been accepted and where you've been mollycoddled, what kind of person will you become? You know, that's what I always think.
Yeah. It's funny because if I got accepted to every single institution and organization that I thought about, I would never have a story. You would never talk to me. We would never have this conversation because I would not have a rejection resume.
That's fantastic. And tell us about a TEDx talk as well.
Mm. Yeah. So the TEDx talk, it's entitled, you know, Can We Determine Success Without a Scoreboard? Now, during the time that I did the TEDx talk in 2018, I was talking about, you know, in sports, how we utilize a scoreboard to determine whoever wins or loses. Like, who wins, who loses, we can determine that based on a scoreboard. Whoever have the most points is the winner of the competition. Mm-hmm. However, the scoreboard does not basically explain the whole entire story of the game. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's a great game. It just has to be a winner and a loser. But it's a great game. And the losers sometimes have been successful at times.
Yeah.
And it translates to our story as well. When we think of our scoreboards in our, you know, daily, you know, endeavors, we think of how much money we have in our bank account.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. We think
about the likes of, when we talk about vanity metrics, in social media. We share a post on social media. If it has 1,000 likes, we succeeded and, you know, we are successful.
Yeah. Yeah.
In contrast, if we have 2 likes in a post, we did not do well. Mm. We may take it down because we are embarrassed about our failures.
Yeah, it's true.
However, when we think of a scoreboard, whether it's likes, followers, vanity metrics, money in a bank account, net worth, it doesn't tell the whole entire story of a person. And this is why I argued the fact that, you know, we can determine success without a scoreboard. And even with this, in this case in point, as far as the rejection resume, it doesn't define who you are. However, it's a perfect way to share your story. It's perfect. Yeah. It's perfectly aligned for your story. And it doesn't really define if you're successful or not.
Absolutely. I love that. So, and again, you know, I will be leaving links, you know, all of your links at the bottom of this talk anyway, for my listeners to obviously find your book, you know, should they wish to purchase it. But it'd be great to obviously find out about yourself, because I always believe that for anybody who's in this line of work, for anybody who's written a book, it's come from somewhere deep. It's come from their own challenges that they've had to overcome. So tell us about your childhood and, you know, where you were brought up and, you know, whether you did have a bit of a traumatic life.
So I've been, as far as like growing up, I've been in a single parent household. My father passed away when I was just 2 years old. In 1996. Okay. And it's been my mom, my brothers, my uncles, and that's that. And I've watched my mom go through a lot, for 3-4 jobs at a time, just to try to make ends meet. And even in my personal story, I've always been overlooked. I suffer from the middle child syndrome because I'm a middle child. So I've always been overlooked. I've always been neglected, rejected. I've always been made fun of. I was that guy, that loser, you know, growing up, whether it's in elementary school, all the way through college, I've been that loser that did not do much. And, you know, besides go to school and go home, play basketball and not socialize the way that the cool kids will socialize.
Yeah.
And I'm an introvert. So growing up, it's been tough. It's been rocky.
Okay.
As far as, you know, getting into fights, losing fights, you know, you know, playing basketball, getting elbowed, getting smacked up, getting hit. Man. I've been through that. I've been knocked down. I can take a punch. Yeah. I've been punched in the face before. I've been slapped before, as, you know, we all may know. But it's more so of my response. How do I respond? I'm going to fight back. Whether I win or lose, I'm going to fight back. I'm going to show resilience. And it applies in terms of, you know, what I get, what I go through in my day to day. I'm going to face rejection. And this is the point that I'm going to pull from the book, that rent is due every day.
Yeah.
When I see that rent is due every day, I'll note that the landlord that we have to pay off is basically our goals, where we want to be. And the currency that I'm paying, that I'm using to pay off my rent, is my effort. Whether I am successful, whether I've not successful, I'm going to put forth that effort. That's my trial. That's basically my end of the bargain when it comes to the contract with my goals. Okay. And with the landlord as well. So growing up, I knew, and this is why I was afraid of fear. I was afraid of failure. Sorry. I had a fear of failure, but yeah. If I'm constantly getting, you know, hit and I'm constantly losing my battles, after a period of time, you're going to say, okay, you know what? Forget it. I'm just going to go ahead and put forth the effort. Whatever happens, happens, and I can live with the end result. So growing up, we're talking about not having it all. We're talking about living in apartments with roaches and, you know, rats, and understanding that dynamic within New York City, getting into fights, getting into arguments with teachers, with other students, just growing up in our rough environment, and it shaped me to who I am today. And now, you know, as far as, you know, being proud, I'm proud of where I came from, and it kind of meshed with the theme of becoming that victim and turning it into becoming a victor and accomplishing everything. So I always treated my trauma days as like tests, so I can turn into testimonials as I am today.
Wow, I love that. Wow. That is, I mean, and just when you were talking there about, you know, the fact that you experienced some physical violence, I mean, in terms of your retaliation, did you fight back or was it more so, okay?
Yeah, of course.
Right, okay.
Stitches here, stitches. I've gotten into fights where, you know, I've got punched in the face and it's like, yeah, I got to fight back. I'm going to lose. I mean, lose, but as long as I fight, I'll let others know that, you know, you don't want to mess with me and it's not going to be easy to get over me.
Yeah.
And being in an environment like in Brooklyn, New York, some parts of New York City, it's tough. It's a tough environment. We hear it all the time. All around the world, we hear it all the time. And it's not easy. It's not easy to grow up. But then again, you have to fight. You have to fight out of situations in order for you to let people know that don't mess with me. And that's it. It's just being provoked sometimes. And there are times where I had to restrain from fighting and, you know, and be smart about the situation. You know, most people haven't gotten a gun pointed at them. And, you know, here I am, just a kid trying to go to school. And next thing you know, people try to rob you on the way to school. When you're on a city bus, people are trying to rob you, people are trying to get into a situation to try to test who you are. And if you fold under pressure, they will take advantage of you. So I've been through a lot.
It's a bit like in prison, you know, you have to show them, you know, who's boss, don't you? And
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. Wow.
On top of that, it's not only just like showing them who you are. It's just a matter of like, I come here in peace. I don't come here just to fight people. Mm. I don't come here to provoke people.
No.
So why are you provoking me?
Yeah.
Right. Don't provoke me. But I took some of those lessons that I've had, like whether it's through fighting and whether it's through getting through some tough situations, I took those lessons and I applied to today. So whenever I am faced with some form of adversity in corporate, I can get around that. Not through physical means, but, you know, through mental analysis and analyzing the situation and figuring out, okay, how can I get around that? Even in academia, you know, there's situations where I have to get over some things that, you know, that are out of my control. I won't sit here and fight other faculty and staff members. However, it's just, you know, utilizing some skills that I've learned from the past, like negotiating sometimes and being able to compromise at times, being able to compromise and sit back and relax and not be overheated all the time. Just learning some things that, you know, learning some things that you learn from the past, whether it's through the books, being book smart and or being street smart, just understanding some things, and it helped me get over the hump at times.
No, that's good to hear. I mean, what would be your advice? Because we know that, you know, domestic violence is pretty rife, especially since lockdown. And, you know, a lot of that does involve of, you know, a partner getting abused by their partner, whether that's physically or verbally. So, and, you know, this podcast is also dedicated to survivors of domestic violence. So I just wanted to know what your kind of advice would be for my listeners.
Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that I fought through some situations here. My advice is sometimes no response is the best response.
Right. Okay.
So if you realize that, you know, you're being provoked by other people, by coworkers, by other students, by your partner, sometimes it's best to just walk away. Mm-hmm. It's best to just walk away. However, be stern with your decision making, because, you know, sometimes you walk away too much and they'll provoke you even more.
Yeah.
But you just, we also have to apply the, you know, it's also having that the stern decision to say, okay, I'm going to walk away today, but tomorrow it may not be the case, and I may confront you in a way that you may not feel comfortable. But just leave, let it be.
Yeah.
And as long as you let, you know, other people know that, whether it's your faculty member or your partners, they will probably relax and say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to provoke you again about any situation here. Or we would just talk about it. Like how normal human beings talk about it, instead of just raising your voice, throwing objects, throwing, you know, getting physical. Sometimes the best response is no response. You shrug it over, shrug it off, and it's not worth your time. And here's another thing that I'm going to note, that time is your biggest competitor. No one else but time, right? People oftentimes say that I'm competing against myself, or I'm competing against others. No, you have to compete against time. So that way you realize that once you are approaching some, you know, situation of conflict, that you're not competing against the person in front of you. However, you're competing against the clock on the wall that's ticking, right? And if you're wasting your time fighting other people about situation that you may laugh about in the future, then that time wasted, you can't get it back. So that's my advice. Sometimes no response is the best response. And on top of that, time is your biggest competitor. And with that mindset, you don't have to worry about unnecessary.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Because obviously I know that, you know, a lot of people do assume, you know, if you don't retaliate or kind of respond back, some people can kind of mistake that as weakness. Whereas, you know, I think a lot of us know that that's actually a strength, because a weakness is actually when you're giving in, you know. And I feel like internal strength is when you are able to just contain yourself and not let the other person destroy your inner peace, you know. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, I totally support that. And time is, you know, when we think about our greatest resource. I mean, again, you know, growing up, I used to think it was money, but now it's time. You know, we shouldn't be like wasting our time. It should be spent, you know, doing stuff that fulfills us and brings us joy. So yeah, talking about that then, tell us about yourself. So what do you do on a day-to-day basis? I know that you're a medical examiner at exam one, and is this kind of a career path which brings you joy and fulfillment?
Yes, it's not easy though. It's not easy. Besides teaching, I am a partner and medical examiner at exam one, the Quest Diagnostics Company. So what I essentially do is I act as a liaison between the insurance companies and the clients, and I consider them as patients as well. So I'm basically gathering, you know, medical records. I'm also gathering biohazard materials, whether it's blood, saliva, urine samples, and sending it to the lab. So that way the lab can let the insurance people know that this patient is eligible for insurance, whether it's life insurance, whether it's disability insurance, health insurance, it doesn't matter. So that's what I do. As far as the fulfillment, I never thought that I would become a partner at Quest. That was not my career trajectory to begin with. I thought I was becoming a pharmacist. That didn't work out. I majored in mathematics. I ended up majoring in mathematics because after my second chemistry course, I said, look, this is not going to work out. So I stuck with what I knew, which is mathematics, and not pure math, but applied mathematics where I can apply it to some things here. Okay. From pharmacy, I thought I was going to become a Wall Street banker. Oh, I tried it, okay. And it didn't work out. It was more so moving on.
Yeah.
But this here, as far as my current role at Quest, it's you're basically getting the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
In finance, in business, whether it's networking with other people, you're networking with very cool people. As far as authors and scientists and doctors, you're connecting with everyone, anyone and everyone that is interested in getting life insurance or any type of insurance. I'm not in the business of selling anyway. So when I text my clients and my patients, I let them know, hey, I am coming to do the examination. They are looking forward to seeing me for the most part. They don't look forward to seeing me because they know that they have to give up blood and no one likes to get, a needle stuck in the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
But they look forward to getting it done.
Thankfully. Yeah.
And it's also an opportunity for me to network with them and talk to them and have a conversation. So, that I really look forward to, dealing with that and on a day-to-day basis and also dealing with students as well at Columbia.
Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's fantastic. Like, and I know that, for yourself, having undergone so many rejections, I suppose a lot of those were based on career choices that you were making as well. And so do you feel like finally the universe has kind of guided you along this journey to where you're meant to be, right?
Yeah. Yes. Tables always turn. In this case, yeah. Let's take Columbia, for example. So I applied to Columbia as a student and I got rejected. And it's more so of a full circle where they're reaching out to me saying, hey, we would like for you to come on as a faculty. And, since 2018, I've been there and I've been very, very excited and super happy being there because like you guys rejected me. You guys are the same institution that rejected me as a student.
Yeah.
I'm here. So it's another point that I would like to make. When it comes to rejection, I would like to remind the listeners that you cannot hold grudges on the people or the organizations that reject you. You can't hold grudges. So, because if I had a grudge against Columbia, I would not be a faculty there. Yeah. I would not be an officer in charge. So it's more so of keeping it cordial and also keeping it respectable as well. You're going to reject me, fine. You're going to hear from me again.
Yeah.
That's point blank. And that way, the tables will always turn. And I really appreciate the fact that I never really held grudges against the organizations that rejected me because at the time, it was not my turn. But now, things will be different.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just have, resent and just, feeling really negative towards someone. It's just energy that you're consuming yourself, which can be spent on something a lot more positive, something, to actually fulfill you and to feed your soul rather than all this hate that we experience. And I know it's so easily done because we live in a world which is quite, negative driven, with all the fear that we're being exposed to on the news and on social media. And I feel like, you really need to kind of step away from that and just, work on yourself and meditate and practice gratitude. That was going to be one of my next questions is, what actually motivates you to wake up in the morning?
A lot. I think as far as just looking forward to like new opportunities.
Yeah.
When we talk about like rent being due every day, I look forward to paying off rent. Most of us don't look forward to paying off rent when it comes to paying off apartments, but I look forward to waking up every day saying, look, today's a new day. I'm grateful for this opportunity, and I cannot take this for granted.
No.
Just that notion, it keeps me motivated to keep going.
Yeah.
And I, as far as being afraid of things like failure, I'm not afraid of that, because it's as long as I have another day, I can always right my wrongs. And just that keeps me motivated. On top of that, meditation, self-affirmation, letting you know that you are good enough. You are not an imposter, right? You can suffer from middle child syndrome, but you can't suffer from imposter syndrome. And some people do it. It's normal to do so. But just basically constantly reminding yourself that you are good enough. You are good enough. You are, you know, you are meant to be here. You're meant to be here. Just take full responsibility, take your time. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. However, you can only control what you can control.
Yeah.
Another thing that keeps me up at night and wakes me up early in the morning is the simple fact that I have to place the blame on myself. All of the burden of blame falls on me, because I am the driver of my destiny. So there's a chapter in the book that says, it may not be your fault, right? Because we can't control some things. There's things that we can't control. However, the next chapter is, we must blame you, right? It may not be your fault, but you have to be blamed for the things that did not happen, because blaming yourself places the accountability on yourself to say, okay, you know what? It may not be my fault. However, it's my bad. I'll place the blame on myself, and I have tomorrow to fix it, or I still have time to fix whatever I was not able to fix. So that's what keeps me motivated. Just knowing that, look, there's more. There's always more to accomplish. There's always more to gain. And it's not only monetary. It's not only about money.
No,
it's just more. It's more people to connect with. You have 7 billion people in the world. You always have to constantly, you know, work yourself into getting to know people and building relationships and getting opportunities, new opportunities. Because and this is why I don't believe in the dream job or the dream career.
Okay.
And the reason why I don't believe in that is because your dreams are constantly changing. Your goals are constantly evolving. So, I look forward to that every single day.
Oh, I love that. Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And so what would you feel would be a valuable lesson for people who may be feeling quite low because they feel like they're a failure, or, you know, they've experienced some failures in their lives?
My advice to those who have been down and who have been down and out at times is you cannot dwell on that.
Okay.
Energy is important. Energy is solely important. And you can't dwell on the simple fact that things did not work your way today or yesterday. You know, once you can move past that, you realize that, you know, you're creating a track record for yourself. So I'm down, and, you know, I don't feel happy because I'm not. A lot of people do that too. Like, a lot of people, especially in our generation, our age group, we are always, you know, we look on social media and we're like, look, he's doing it at this age, and damn, what am I doing? And I'm not where I'm supposed to be. And it's okay to think that way, but you have to move on. You have to move on. And just know that you are driving your own car. You are driving your own car, and you must stay in your lane and focus on what you have going on. Because if you're focused on the next driver, you're going to crash. You're not focused. You need to keep your eyes on the road.
Same.
You're going to crash. If you don't, if you look at somewhere else, you're going to crash.
Yeah.
So I will tell people, you know, you're in your 20s, whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, you feel as though you did not accomplish much, and you're a failure, right?
Okay. It's okay.
However, you must move from that point. And the only way for you to progress is going up. If you're at level zero, you can't go beyond level zero. The only way to go is up. And if you can continue to progress every single day, you'll get to level one, to level two, and you'll eventually get to the level that you want to get at a particular time. But you know, you have to lose that notion of competing against yourself and competing against others. This is why we tend to look at social media, and you know, we tend to compare and contrast our stories, and it's not the case. Focus on yourself, and and you're racing against time.
Yeah.
So don't worry, don't fret at the simple fact that you're not where you're supposed to be. You're going to get there one day. Just take it one day at a time, and you always have to compete against time, and you'll get there.
Oh, I love that. Oh, thank you. Wow. Very inspirational. Yeah. So what would be like your one kind of takeaway lesson for my listeners today?
One of the takeaways that I would like to say is world records exist for a reason. And what do I mean by that? If it's possible to accomplish something that you thought was impossible, then it is possible that nothing is impossible.
Okay.
In other words, world records exist for a reason because we think like accomplishing something of that feat was not was basically unreasonable to think about that. However, we got there because someone believed in themselves to get there. And if we are in a mindset of hitting our world records or hitting our personal best, then we realize that the next hurdle, it's possible that we can get to the next hurdle. And we can get to the next hurdle. And once we get to that point, we realize that nothing is beyond our limits. We the sky's the limit for a reason, right? Because we thought that the ceiling, we have a glass ceiling, and we're breaking through that ceiling, and we get into the next ceiling, we're breaking through. We realize that we can continue to break through ceilings for a great deal of time, and you know, nothing is impossible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm saying this again, the one key takeaway for this podcast is if it's possible that we can accomplish something that is impossible, then it is possible that nothing is impossible. Right.
Wow. Try and get your head around that, listeners. Basically, I think in a nutshell, anything is possible. So it's all about, just like you said, it's about having, you know, self-belief. And I know, look, I have it myself, so many limiting beliefs and the imposter syndrome. Yeah, that terminology comes a lot during my kind of self-reflection moments. And you're right. It's just, you know, we really have to try and filter our brain with more positive affirmations and to just, you know, realize how far we've come so far in our lives and that we've all been gifted, you know, and just even appreciating this gift of life that we've been given. And every day we're waking up and again, it's a brand new day and it's life. So, you know, we should be making the most of it and fulfilling ourselves and doing stuff that serves us rather than things that drain us. So yeah, absolutely. It's about, Oprah said it on one of her talks, it's about making sure that our cup is overfilled. I love that because then you got more to give as well.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Eli. You've been an absolute honor today, and you know, with your wisdom and your inspiration that you've been sharing, and I know that my listeners will be inspired. And again, I couldn't thank you enough for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on, and I really appreciate you for even considering my story. I'm pretty sure you get a ton of stories and pitches, and you know, I think it's more so of, you know, trying to stand out. It's so difficult to do so, but I appreciate you for even, you know, considering my story and taking me on as a visitor here.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And I'll be adding all your links onto the description box. And again, in terms of, you know, anybody who'd like to contact Eli, he's available on your website, drelijoseph.com, which is pretty easy.
Yeah. I'm also available on social media, Dr. Eli Joseph. The same thing, Drelijoseph. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever. It's the same username that I've used, and it's the same handle for every platform.
So, do you have time to manage these accounts?
Well, Yes and no. So whenever I'm on Instagram and Facebook and social media, I tend to like utilize that time to just catch up on the latest trends. However, I just have to continue to stay focused on what I have going on as well. And sometimes I use it as a marketing tool to promote, you know, whatever I got going on, whether it's my articles that I've written or, you know, books that I've published. It's just more so a marketing tool.
Oh, excellent. Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just good, isn't it, to keep updated, especially with these talks that you have on and to let people know, look, I've released another talk. Yeah. Fantastic.
This one, I will definitely be sure to share this one as well.
Woo, yay. That's what we like to hear. That's great. And listeners, again, if you've got any questions, please do get in touch with myself or Dr. Joseph. I'm sure he'll be absolutely honored to hear from you. And until the next show, we will have to close this off. And please do, you know, stay empowered, stay blessed, and just keep rocking it. Brothers and sisters, we love you. I'll see you on the next show. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next and share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.